The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant at 41 Cross Street, right across the street from the North Shore Mall, where we have been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families on the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley since 1968. That is right, 1968. 50 years we've been celebrating this year. Hard to believe it. I haven't been doing it that long. I was two. I was born in 1966. Which means I don't care if you know how old I am. I'm 52 years old. That's what it is. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You know what? Back then, you know, years ago in 1968, 58 years old. If you said you were 58 years old, you wouldn't tell people that because, or 52 years old, you wouldn't say that because, you were old. But, 52? 52 is the new 13. No, I don't know about that. I can drink. So maybe it's the new 21. No, it's all good. You know, last week we had the shredding event that we did at our office. Man, was it great. We had, I don't know, 100 plus people come through the parking lot of our office. We collected, we just got the report in from the shredding company, over 5 tons of paper. 5 tons, that's, I'm sorry, not 5 tons. I said that wrong. Let me correct myself. 5,000 pounds of paper, that is 2.5 tons. That's still a lot of paper. I don't care how you cut it. Hey, big shout out to the Armstrong Machine Company from Beverly, who decided to empty their office at this rate. Really, thank you, Ray. Ray Armstrong decided to get all of the stuff that he had been accumulating in his warehouse, put it into a pickup truck, sent someone down in a big pickup truck. They had lots of stuff to unload. So thank you for shredding all of your stuff. Thank you also to Catherine Brown, who was there on site doing selfies with a lot of folks, as she promised she would do that. She invited us to be on the radio a few times as well. Thank you to Andrea, and I believe his name was Mike, who was the producer of the show that day. Was it Mike or Matt or Mike? No, not Matt from the morning show. Mike, I think his name was Mike. I don't know. He was wearing a white shirt. That guy, the guy in the white shirt. And thank you to Andrea Kerwitz as well for being there, handing out goodies to all of the people that swung by. It was a lot of fun, and we hope to do it again next year, where we'll do our shredding event where you can get rid of your bank statements, your telephone books that you accumulate, I don't know, your newspapers, investment statements, old tax returns. We had somebody that brought tax returns that they were showing it to me from 1963, and they were wondering why have I been keeping this thing so long? They didn't realize they even had it. They were planning on it downsizing. They were going over to Brooksby Village, I think, and they were cleaning out their house. They came across these boxes with tax returns from 1963. You don't need to keep those anymore, folks. You really, really don't. And just like I tell the story, of course, my mother-in-law still doesn't need to keep her electric bills and her gas bills from the 1960s and 1970s. Not necessary. Hey, real life story, actually. We got a note from my son Corey, from his guidance counselor, who was, I don't know, she needed some information about, I think it was the PSAT tests, you know, those these testings programs that the kids have to do. And she noticed that Corey's name didn't match up with the residential address that we had from last year. And that's because we moved. We have a new address now. And so she says, in order to register for the PSATs, she needed to verify our address. And she says, I need two forms of identification. She'd like to get a mortgage statement, a deed from the house, a utility bill, something like that. And so Laura says to me, well, can I just have those statements? I said, Laura, I don't have that stuff. She says, what do you mean you don't have that stuff? How are we going to send it? I said, watch how easy it is to fold this up. So I went to the North Essex Registry of Deeds and within 2 minutes pulled up a copy of my deed, printed that out for Laura. Then I went to National Grid, where I don't even get statements anymore, and within less than a minute was able to pull up my last month's statement, printed that out for her. She took a picture. We shredded all the stuff and done. That was it. There is no need to keep paper in your home anymore, folks. Get rid of it. It is very easily accessible, as long, of course, as you know how to use a computer. Now, what's interesting, very interesting, sometimes you can't access that information as easily through your phone as you can through a computer. Sometimes if you use an app to access things, you can't necessarily gain access to certain parts of what's available online. So it is available, just know how to use it. Anyways, as you well know also, this weekend we are now in the heat of, or the heart of, I should say, the Topsfield Fair. This is day three. We've had a great couple first days. The hot dog eating contest that we did yesterday was a lot of fun. Hopefully you were there cheering on the contestants who were just chowing down hot dogs. It was a great event. We had up to 10 people at each heat, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. They ate as many hot dogs as they could within a 5-minute period of time. The finalists from each of the heats are all being invited back for next Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll be doing the finals for them for a prize worth $200, and Friedman Financial, my firm, will present them with that check of $200. A lot of fun there, but you know, throughout the course of the fair, and if you happen to go today, go this week, I run a booth there at the Topsfield Fair. It's called the B'nai B'rith Booth. It's been there 58 years. My wife and I now run the entire operation. We serve everything from gigantic hot dogs to these huge Rhine's Delis knishes to 525 pounds of brisket sandwiches that we do. We have potato pancakes. We've got giant brownies, hamburgers, chicken fingers, all sorts of pizza bagels from Kate's. We got all sorts of stuff. Swing by, come by and see us. And if you happen to go to the window and you say, ask for either Laura or myself, say, hey, I hear you on the radio. I got a special treat just for you. So be sure you ask. Come by and look out for me. I will be there pretty much every day throughout the fair. I'm actually heading there right from this radio show. I'll be heading over to the fair this morning. So hope you're all having a good time today, by the way, at the fair. If you're heading up there, Strictly Sinatra presents the Rat Pack today at 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock at the fair. Also, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police musical ride is up for two shows this Sunday today, 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Plus, of course, you can see the giant pumpkin. You can see that the chicks getting hatched. You can have all of the fried food you possibly want. You want a fried Oreo, they'll do it. Fried Twinkie, fried butter, fried chicken parmesan sandwich. You can have fried anything over there. Lots of great rides, lots of things to do, lots of plants to see, lots of award-winning art work that people have done. There's a blacksmith that's over in the Kittyland area. He shows you how they used to make the old stuff, the blacksmith stuff. He's got a little shop there. He's always covered. His hands are black. I mean, actually for him, we know him well. He comes to our booth every year, and he actually has his own food. It's called the Blacksmith Special. Now, what's the Blacksmith Special? He's gluten-free. He doesn't want bread. So we give him a big boat full of French fries. We then top it off with pastrami. Then on top of that, put on some brisket, melt some cheese on top of that, heat it all up, and he is in heaven. Sometimes he asks us to put a scoop of chili on top of that as well, and he really loves it. Now, that's because he's seen us do what we call the Oy Vey sandwich. Oy Vey! You've heard of the Oy Vey sandwich, right? We started this last year. The Oy Vey sandwich is, my producer Tony can't control himself over here. He's wanting an Oy Vey sandwich. It is the biggest sandwich served at the fair for just $10. What you get, it's a big bulky roll. Big bulky roll, you know what that is, right? So the bulky roll, first layer, a bunch of nice, steamy, juicy, shredded brisket. On top of that, we put spiced pastrami on top of that. On top of that, you get a big scoop of beef and bean chili put on top of that. We then top it off with a potato pancake. The bun goes on top, toothpick through the side of it. You get a half dill pickle, and that goes out the door for $10. And when it goes out, everybody in the place goes, Oy Vey! And that's where it goes. So it's a great event. Last year, we sold over 300 Oy Vey sandwiches, a new sandwich that we brought up. Hopefully, we'll hit 500 sandwiches this year. So anyways, we're here to talk about financial advice in a language you can understand. I will tell you, one of the best deals around is actually, from a financial standpoint, you know, you buy your tickets for the fair. You can buy those in advance, by the way. You can't buy them anymore in advance, but they've been in advance for a while. You get into the fair. There is so much to do in the fair for free. So much to see, so much to do for free. Yeah, you know, you got to pay for the food and things like that, but you're going to pay for food anyways, right? But so many exhibits to watch, so many shows to see. You'll watch some guy climb a grease pole. For instance, yesterday, people could sit and watch people shove hot dogs down their throats. It was a free show, right? You can watch the hot dog eating contest at 2, 3, and 4 o'clock. It was a great day. All right, enough about the fair, but I'm sure I'll get back to the fair in a little while. I do want to talk to you a little bit about some stuff that's been going on. I got this letter, got this email last Sunday. Some guy was listening to the show, and I want to read this note that I got. And let me just pull it up here. Let's see if I can pull up. You know what I just realized I did? I pulled up my response to the letter and not the question that he sent. Huh. Good thing I prepare for these radio shows in advance. What do you know? All right. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about what he was talking about anyways. So I get this letter from a listener. I can't believe I sent them just the answer. So this listener says, I've been hearing from my friends that I need to put my assets into a trust. However, I'm not quite sure who to go to get the right advice as to whether I need a trust or not. I get solicited all the time in the mail, in getting invited to dinners, to luncheons, to go to these free meetings, but I know that there's something else that I've got to do. I know nothing comes for free. And you are absolutely right, writer, his name is here is Paul. I'm sorry, Paul. So Paul, you're absolutely right. Nothing comes for free. Those free dinners are not free at all. They want you to come in for a free initial consultation. But the one thing that they will do, their number one goal, and it's the old-fashioned approach that a lot of people did back in the seminar days, number one goal was to scare the daylights out of you at dinner. That's really what they want to do. My father used to use the term, we want to disturb you. That's what he used to do. He says, we're not going to educate you at these seminars. We want to disturb you. Disturb you so much that you feel, oh my God, I have to talk to this person. And so let's talk about whether you need a trust. What is a trust? Why do you need a trust? What should you do with a trust? Well, I've talked about this in the past, but a trust essentially is, in many cases, an extension of you. An extension of you. That's what a trust is. A trust is an extension of you. And what it does, though, is it says, upon my death, I'm going to give specific instructions as to how I want my money distributed. And you might say to yourself, well, isn't that what a will does? Yes, a will can do that. A will can do that. But in order to get someone to read the will, your assets first must be probated. If your assets are held in a trust, they are not subject to probate. So there's a really good reason to put some of your assets in a trust. But oftentimes you don't need to put a bunch of your assets into a trust because sometimes they're already protected from probate. Am I confusing you? Have I lost you? Well, don't you worry. That's just a tease for what's more to come. I'm going to give you financial advice in a language you can understand so that you can make sure that you know that you're assets that you have, your investments that you own, are registered properly and are prepared appropriately. So if something happens to you, they pass with ease to the next generation, to the next person you want it to go, to the heirs, to the friends, to the charity. And we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right above Alto Forno Restaurant at 41 Cross Street in Peabody and across the street from the North Shore Mall, where we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families just like you on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area. We've been doing it for 50 years. And the reason that people stay, the reason that people come to us and stay, is that we continue to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we do here on this radio as well, each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We call our show Dollars and Cents. Now, that is not cents with a C-E-N-T-S. That is cents with an S-E-N-S-E. We want to make you smarter. I want to help you make smarter financial decisions. And we're faced with financial decisions every single day. Everybody's willing to step up and give you an opinion about how you should spend your money, what you should do. I don't want to tell you exactly how you should spend your money and what you should do, but I want to provide you with questions to ask yourself. I want to provide you with ammunition so that when someone starts tempting you with ideas and thoughts of what you should do with your money, you know how to respond to them. And when the time comes when you say, you know what, I'm done with this. This is just way more complicated than I want it to be. I just want to simplify everything. I want to have someone take this seriously. I want to get some advice where people can say, Mark, can you take this thing seriously? Give me some advice. Provide this in a package where I can see what I have. I can sleep well at night. I don't have to worry. And we will work very, very, very hard to help you accomplish that. We've been doing it since 1968. Many of our new clients come right from this radio show, along with the referrals that we get from clients that exist right here on the North Shore in the Merrimack Valley. We are accepting new appointments right now. We do have space for that available. We have made some adjustments in our office, which allow for us to add new clients to our new office. We'd love to invite you, have you come up and visit us in our new space. And a consultation in our office, an initial consultation, is free. When I say it's free, I want you to be clear in what free really means. We are not in the business, my business, because we've had it for so long. If we're not a good fit, I'm going to let you know that. I'm not going to try to figure out a way to make us fit. I want you to feel good about the relationship. We need to be sure that we can commit to providing you ongoing advice, financial advice in a language you can understand that goes far beyond the first 6 months or the first year. Think about the relationships that you have with a lot of folks. When you go to buy a big screen TV, when you go to buy a house for that matter, when you go to buy a house, you build up a nice relationship. The agent at the house is working really hard to sell you that house, right? But once the house is sold, what kind of relationship do you have with the agent after that? There really isn't one, is there? How about when you buy a car? Is there a relationship? Now, the car dealerships would like to think that, yes, there is a relationship, because in 3 or 4 years, you might be back and you might go to the same dealership over and over again. If you do that, they have built a relationship with you. But when you're buying a house, it's a transaction. It's one and done. The person that sold you the product, they were working towards getting a commission, or as my agent that told me my house called it, a professional fee. I said, come on, it's a commission. No, it's my professional fee. It's a commission. That's okay. Don't be ashamed of it. You earned it. You worked for it. Let's call it what it is. But in our business, I need to make sure that the relationship that we have with you is something that I'm working on every single day. That you know next week, next month, 3 years or 10 years from now, that you can call our office as a client and know that the questions you can ask expand far beyond your investment account. So we've been having this conversation in the first segment about trusts, and I thought I would help you give some answers. I thought I'd provide you some answers to some of the questions that we've been asked lately through email that we've received from folks, and also questions that we get from clients. This idea of trusts. Now, there's all different types of trusts. There's things that are called a revocable trust and an irrevocable trust. Irrevocable. Let's be sure you understand what that means. A revocable trust generally is a trust that is simply an extension of you. Let's say I could set up a trust called the Mark Friedman Family Revocable Trust. And it would be on my social security number, not a trust social security number, not something that's newly defined. It's just an extension of me, just like I have my individual account, my joint account with Laura, my own IRA account. I use my social security number. My revocable trust would still have my social security number. It's just another name of a registration. But what happens there, unlike an individual account that I might own, if I were to put money in my family revocable trust and I died, we would go to the trust document, this legal document written by an attorney. I don't write these things. Attorneys write these. And it gives clear instruction that says, if Mark dies, here is how the money should be distributed. Very plain and simple. Do I need to? And someone would say, well, what does the will say? Interesting. If you have a trust, you don't need to look at the will. The trust already dictates what's going to happen. Similar to an IRA or a 401k. Remember, when you signed up for your 401k at work, or you set up an IRA rollover account with a brokerage firm or with a local bank or whatever it might have been, one of the questions that was asked of you is, who is your beneficiary? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's a charity, whatever it is. But upon your death, the document is very clear. Upon your death, someone shows that death certificate to the financial institution that held your IRA, and the financial institution is obligated to pay whatever is in that account to the beneficiary that is listed on the form. Can it be changed? No, because once you die, your decisions are what's called irrevocable. You no longer have the ability to do that. So remember that I talked about revocable trusts earlier? An irrevocable trust means that you're willing to set up a trust that you no longer have control over. A lot of people use these irrevocable trusts as a means for better qualifying for Medicaid. Now, that is not something that I'm endorsing, not something that I support, nothing like that. There's all sorts of strategies that you can use trusts for. The irrevocable trust, though, is something when you want to put something into an irrevocable trust, you're saying, I'm putting money in and I'm not allowing myself to make any changes anymore. Now it is out of my hands. Now, just think about this. If it goes out of your hands, should your social security number be on that trust? No, it's not your control anymore. You're not going to have to pay tax on that anymore. You're not going to have to pay tax on the dividends of the capital. You don't own it anymore. A separate tax ID number is structured for that, and a separate tax return is filed. So when you talk about trusts, first things first, you have to understand, am I setting up a revocable trust or an irrevocable trust? Most people here on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, that believe they need a trust to simply protect them from having to go through the probate process, you want a revocable trust, not an irrevocable trust. Now, there are reasons to set up irrevocable trusts. I'm not going to get into those today. We're going to focus on why we set up a revocable trust. A revocable trust says, allows you to have control and dictate what happens after that. Now, when you die, let's say you have a revocable trust and you said, upon my death, I want the money to be split three ways to my three children. But one of my children is a bit of a spendthrift, and I want to be sure there are some controls put on that person's share. Well, upon your death, your revocable trust now becomes irrevocable, right? Because you're not around to be able to make any changes anymore. They can't go knocking on your door at the gravesite and say, hey, can I get your signature on this? No, it's just not possible, right? So what happens is you've said that I want Johnny to get his share, I want Sally to get her share, and I want Jimmy's share to remain in the name of the trust. And maybe Johnny and Sally are in charge of this share of the trust, and they can decide how best to give money to Jimmy. You can do all of that stuff. That's allowed. You don't need a will for that part of it. The trust takes care of it. But it's really interesting. I always find it fascinating how many people believe that the will supersede everything. The will, frankly, It's the street cleaner. It picks up the rest of the crap that was not taken care of through planning. So money that you have in an insurance policy, if you have money in a life insurance policy, a variable annuity, yes, that's insurance too, a variable annuity, a variable universal life policy, a term insurance policy, whatever it is, you've named a beneficiary. Your will not have a say here as long as there is a beneficiary that is named on the account. Now, if you name the estate of, if you say, well, I'm going to leave it to the estate of Mark Friedman. No, if I had an account, please don't leave your money to me. I'm not asking for you to do that. If you were leaving the account to the estate of you, now it's going to have to probably go through the probate process. But if you name an individual, you save yourself an enormous amount of money, time, effort, and energy. Have you ever asked yourself, have you ever asked the person who you've assigned to be the executor of your estate, whether they want to be the executor of your estate? Oftentimes people will set up these legal documents. They'll name trustees of a trust. They'll name the executor of their estate. They'll name somebody in the will. They'll name the executor through their will or their personal representative, as the politically correct term is right now. We can't use executor and executrix anymore. It is now your personal representative. Do you ever ask them? Do you ever sit down and say, hey, would you like to do this? Most people never know. Now, many people just assume, well, it would be the oldest child that would be burdened with that responsibility. And most people just simply believe that's going to be the case. But what if you had three kids? And perhaps you trusted the financial intuitions, the intelligence, the intuitiveness of your middle child more than you would of the older child, and you decided to name the middle child the executor or the trustee of your, the executive of your estate or the trustee of your trust. And you didn't tell the older child. Is that problematic? It could be. And you know what happens is when you're dead, you can't change it. You want to be sure you have these conversations ahead of time, making sure that your accounts are structured properly, that the registration of your accounts are appropriate. These are important things. Notice this morning, I have not talked about the markets. I haven't talked about whether you could get 5%, 6%, 9%, 24%, or negative 13% on your accounts. Because at the end of the day, when you're dead, what the performance of your accounts was doesn't matter. It's what the value of your account is that day that matters, because the beneficiaries want to know how they get their share. And if you're not able to make that happen through your proper planning appropriately, you could be creating more of a nightmare than you possibly imagined. And as somebody who's been doing this since our firm's been doing it since 1968. I've been doing it since 1991. We see one death a month in our office. Fortunately, the clients that we have, we've structured it properly so that things are rather easy. But people oftentimes come to us also after someone has died and they say, please, can you help us? And oh my goodness, the nightmare that exists, because people simply don't know what to do. And if you're trying to, if you think to yourself, I'm trying to set this up appropriately on my own, but I'm not quite sure that I think it's the right way, or I've taken the advice of somebody that I talk to that I think this is the right way, my neighbor, my friend, my colleague, you want to be careful. Because do I have a story for you? I have a story about a client who died and had 14 children. And at the day of the wake, and we go to a lot of wakes and funerals, at the wake, two of the kids come up to me and they say, hey, I understand your mom's financial advisor. How do I get my share? Yeah, that happens more often than you think. But what happened following that conversation is something that you will never believe. But I'm going to tell you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
One of the most haunting musicals ever is coming to Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. Don't miss Jekyll and Hyde, starring recording artists, Broadway veterans, and American Idol finalist Constantine Maroulis and Diana DeGarmo. Jekyll and Hyde. His days were spent in pursuit of science. His nights were another story.
I need to know.
He's the man one woman loves and the monster one woman fears.
If someone like you found me.
This romantic and thrilling new production will break your heart and make your blood run cold. At North Shore Music Theater from September 25th through October 7th. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org. No musical has ever held you like this. Sponsored by Iron Tree Service.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It is Sunday, and it is Topsfield Fair Sunday. That's right. Big day today. It is the third day of the fair. We got the whole week going. The weather's been good. I hope you're having a great day. Come by. Swing by the fair. It's the 200th anniversary of the Topsfield Fair. Over a half a million people are expected to pass through the turnstiles at the Topsfield Fair. As many of you well know, I run a booth at the Topsfield Fair. It is called the B'nai B'rith booth. It's the Jewish community booth. We have more than 280 volunteers who work at our booth selling Jewish fare at the Topsfield Fair. That's what we call it. We'll serve over 3,000 quarter-pound hot dogs, over 400 pounds of hot pastrami, 525 pounds of brisket, over 1,000 Rhine's Deli knishes, over 400 Katz's pizza bagels from Chelsea. We'll sell 60 gallons of matzo ball soup and so much more stuff. Swing by. I will tell you, you get the biggest portions at the best prices at our fair. If you come by and say hello, poke your head in the window, ask for me, ask for Laura. Thanks for listening to the show. We will give you a special prize that we have for you as well. So swing by. We'd love to meet you. When we last left, I was telling you this story. You know, we've seen so many people that are beginning to try to plan for the rest of their life. Now, we're living a lot longer, folks. We're living way longer than we probably ever imagined. You know, back in 1950, the life expectancy, if you were living in 1950, life expectancy was 68 years of age. That's not too far ago. Many of you can remember 1950, right? Many of you can remember 1950. Yeah, it was black and white TV back then, but you can remember the 1950s. Life expectancy was 68. So when you look at pictures today of grandma and grandpa, and you say, look at them, and you go, geez, they looked old. They were in their 60s, folks. And now you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, that's me. But you're feeling great. You're feeling great because you know what? Life expectancy today is about 81 years old. And it's been said that the generation of people born today, many could live to 150. How could you retire at 65 and live to 150? That's virtually impossible, isn't it? We really need to think about a lot of things. But in this case, the case that I was talking about was this client of ours who was very concerned about paying taxes, paying probate fees, paying all sorts of things. So she had an account and she had 14 children. 14 children. Now her account was about $300,000. So a nice sum of money, but when you really think about dividing it 14 ways, there's not a lot of money that's going to go to each person. Now, the kids didn't know what mom had. The kids knew that mom got a pension. She used to work for one of the school systems, and she also had some other money. But mom also had lung cancer. She was a smoker. And the kids thought for sure mom was in and out of hospitals, mom was in and out of rehab facilities, all different places. Mom was in her late 70s. Mom was going to die soon. And the kids all knew that because mom had set up what was called a TOD registration on her account, TOD standing for transfer on death, which means upon mom's death, the beneficiaries listed on that form would immediately get the money, assuming everybody signed off and all that kind of stuff, right? So the kids, some of the kids who I might even refer to them as deadbeat kids or even kids that really hadn't been all that thoughtful in the way they planned for their own future, one of them decided to pay for a wedding for their daughter with the expectation that mom would soon be dead and they could pay for the wedding. Well, Mom lived longer than they expected. Another guy bought a boat with the expectation he'd certainly get his inheritance soon so he could pay for the boat. Well, Mom lives 2.5 years longer than many of these kids imagined. And at the wake, as I make visits to wakes, at the wake there, I begin to meet some of the kids. Some of the kids I knew already. Some of them I had not met. Two of the kids come up to me, each individual, and they said, hey, can we swing by your office after the wake and pick up our share of Mom's money? And I'm like, dude, your mom's laying here next to us right now. Let's go through the mourning process. Well, you know, he was like, who are you to tell me how I should mourn? I just want my share. I said, we can get you your share. I said, I have to look through the paperwork, and I want to be sure that everything's structured properly. He says, I know I get 1/14. I know that's how that works. You may probably do, but I got to look through everything. So wake is over. I go back to the office. He doesn't show up, thank goodness. Next morning, though, he's waiting for me downstairs. Fortunately, I've taken the time to talk with my staff to see, okay, how are we going to deal with this? Well, first things you have to do is you have to get a death certificate. You have to, you know, prove that Mom's really passed away. And I said to him, I said, we've got to get some paperwork together, so we're going to need some time to prepare all of this. Well, how much time are we going to have? She says, I got everybody in town. They can all sign the paperwork now. I said, well, we can't get it done that quickly. There's a lot of paperwork. There's 14 people that have to sign paperwork. So a couple days go by. We try to expedite it as best we can. 2 days later, we've got all the paperwork prepared. Now, what we've learned is because there's 14 beneficiaries, all 14 kids have to sign off on every single distribution form that says, I'm agreeing that, you know, my sister Sally gets 1/14. And they all have to sign off on all of this stuff. So I call the guy and I said, look, we got all the paperwork ready. He says, I'll come in and I'll sign it as soon as I get there. I said, well, you can come in and sign it. I said, but all 14 of your siblings need to sign all the paperwork. Well, why can't they just sign theirs? Why can't I sign mine? Because that's not the way this works. And so he now gets very, very upset. He says, we had all 14 kids here in Danvers, Massachusetts for the funeral, and you, me, couldn't put together the paperwork so we could distribute all of Mom's assets, get it all taken care of, and he is upset. He is really, really angry. He says, do you know I have debt collectors and bill people coming after me, and I need my money to pay these people off? I can't stand getting harassed by those folks. Frankly, buddy, you're harassing me. Not that I said that to him, but that's how I felt. And so what we had to do was we had to put all of the paperwork. I had to have him sign 14 different documents, which he did. He signed them all while he was there. And then we put it all of those 14 documents into a FedEx envelope and sent it to the next sibling. And the next sibling was given the instructions to take all of those documents and send it to the next address on the list and move it around to all 14 people. Now, by the way, someone asks, Mark, what do you charge for that service? Do you know how much money I made doing all of that? Nothing. I made nothing. Now, do I do that for anybody off the street? No. This client of ours, the mom, had been with us for 20-some-odd years. Of course I was going to do the work to settle up the estate and everything like that. But that's an enormous amount of time and effort that we take to do this. And it took almost a month and a half for the paperwork to make its rounds to 14 different households. I actually didn't think it was so bad. We'd peek in, periodically check in to see where is the paperwork in the process. Everyone gets their share, but my goodness. There are a lot of people that are, a lot of young folks, even, I shouldn't even say young folks. I mean, if you're in your 40s, 50s, or 60s, are you considered young folk these days? Well, when someone dies at 61, they go, oh, but he was so young. Well, I would agree. But then what do you say? Oh, he was 13 when he died. Oh, he was so young. What's the difference, right? But at 61 years old, there are people in their 60s that are waiting for Mom and Dad to die so that they can look forward to planning their retirement or planning to pay off debt or planning. Folks, we are all faced with a responsibility. And I know that many of us see this current generation that's coming out of the school systems these days as this this generation that does not want responsibility for anything, does not want to be held accountable, and want mommy and daddy to do everything for them. And you know what? We have been suckers for doing it, because we have the means to help them out, but we've never really pushed them into a manner where they have to fend for themselves. Folks, there are people in their 50s and 60s that are there too. And they're waiting for mommy and daddy to die so that they don't have to worry about taking care of themselves. They'll just figure the money comes and it will be all taken care of. And here's the reality. Here's what I'm seeing every single day in my office, because 65% of our clients are retired. They have really good assets. They have a net worth over $1 million. They're drawing money from their accounts to support their lifestyle. They're getting to do what they want. But they also say to me, you know what, Mark? I really don't want to touch the principal. I'd really like to work really hard so that I don't touch the principal, so that I can pass on money to my next generation. Well, as careful as many people have been, and I'm not saying everybody does that. It's about 50-50, by the way, of who wants to pass it on and who doesn't. But for those that are staying so careful, many of them are sacrificing their own retirement. They're sacrificing their own retirement so that they could pass an enormous amount of money on to the children. They're being so careful and so diligent with that money. Yet when their kids get it, and I will tell you this because we have one death a month in our office. If you have three kids, chances are one of those kids is going to blow their share. They're going to use it to pay off their mortgage. They're going to use it to buy cars, go on fancy vacations. And so the money that you would hope that they would save to use for their future, maybe a very small fraction of it still gets retained. But oftentimes it's free money, so they don't care about what the tax liability is going to be. They just pay it. They don't care. It's money. It's a fresh start. I don't think you were dying so you could give your kids a fresh start. There's another one, though, that's always very responsible. Perhaps they're doing well. Perhaps they've been responsible. Perhaps they look at this as, oh my goodness, this is mom and dad's legacy. I want to be sure that I care for it, nurture it as best they can. And then there's always the third. The third that goes around telling everybody how much money they make, living the life that they've always wanted. They live the same lifestyle they had as they were growing up as kids, but instead they can't afford everything without a credit card, without debt. They have a nice house, but the house is generally empty. They drive nice cars, but they carry lots of debt. They like to go out to eat. They like to spend money on wine. They want their kids to go to the nicest schools, and they want to qualify however they possibly can for every possible financial aid or government package they can get, despite making $300,000 and $400,000 a year. And they say, I don't feel like I spend much money. I don't know where it all goes. I don't spend that much. And then mom and dad die. And mom and dad leave them this money. And it's because of that money coming to them that they feel, now I can just fill in the gaps. I can fill in the holes that I've dug for myself, start clean again, a refresh start, and now I can hang with all of my friends and all of my contemporaries. And I can feel like now I can afford this, though I was just kind of treading water until mom and dad died. Folks, I see this every single day. Every single day. Not from people from Iowa or Missouri. These are people from Danvers and Beverly and Gloucester and Peabody and North Andover and Groveland and all these places. Because our business, Friedman Financial, has been located in Peabody, Massachusetts for 50 years. We do a great job trying to work with our clients to help them get their financial life in order so that they can prepare and provide for the retirement lifestyle that they want. But we also want to make sure that we know where everything is and what everything is worth, so you are maximizing everything you possibly can for your retirement, and that you also get to fulfill the dreams that you want of making sure that your children get taken care of if you want them to be. But I'll also tell you this, our clients know that their children are always welcome to visit our office as well. I don't care how much money they have, how little money they have, how much, or whether it's a lot. We will give them guidance. We will talk them through so that they can start making smart decisions. We don't want them to be blindsided when mom and dad die. We want them to be ready. And it's why many people who pass away leave their money to children who ultimately become clients of ours as well. It's why we keep maintaining a 99% retention rate in our office, why we continue to stay local, why we continue to provide financial advice in a language you can understand. And we do dollars and cents each and every Sunday morning right here in the Treetop Studios of North Shore 104.9 from 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday. I'm heading out of here right after this segment, heading off to the Topsfield Fair, where I'll be slinging hash. No, I mean, I'll be serving up hot dogs, serving chicken fingers and hamburgers. I work a booth at the Topsfield Fair. It's called the B'nai B'rith booth. I know you hear me talk about it a lot during this part of the year. If you swing by today, you swing by any time during the week, poke your head in the window, say hello to either myself or ask my wife, Laura. We've got a prize for you for listening to the show. So thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. We serve Jewish fare at the Topsfield Fair. More than 3,000 quarter-pound Hebrew National hot dogs will be sold this week at our booth. We'll sell about 800 hamburgers. We will sell 525 pounds of brisket, 400 pounds of pastrami, 1,000 Rhine's Deli knishes, 480 Kate's bagels. We've got, and so much more, man. We make this homemade kugel that is awesome. Awesome. It's like a noodle pudding. That's really, really good. We got potato pancakes. We've got chicken fingers. We've got cheeseburgers and hamburgers. Yeah, the Jewish booth. We still sell cheeseburgers. Some people don't like that, but the demand for cheeseburgers is huge, and we want to serve the crowd. We want to please everybody. Anyway, a guy that sent me an email this past week saying, Mark, I don't get it. Everyone's talking about this thing where you're supposed to wait till your full retirement age to take Social Security. I don't want to wait. I want to take it now. I'm eligible at 62 years old. He says, assume this. He says, let's say I need $1,000 to live on in retirement, and my Social Security check at 62 is $1,000. Why wouldn't I take it? Now, this was an email, so this wasn't a dialogue. I chose not to respond to him with a lot of details. I thought I'd challenge this on the radio. So question number one, he makes this for instance. I got to believe his for instance isn't a real situation. Because if it is, if his only source of income is $1,000 a month, and he has $1,000 of expenses, and he doesn't want to work anymore, well, then take the money. Take the money. What do you want me to tell you? You're living a poverty lifestyle. You're living a lifestyle of poverty. $12,000 a year, no, you won't pay any tax on that Social Security income. It'll come to you tax-free. But living at $1,000 a month, I don't know how you're doing it. Perhaps you've got government assistance, whatever it might be. And yeah, if that's your situation, you may want to consider that. But here's the reality check, folks. Most people need more than $1,000 a month to support their life in retirement. In fact, most people that we run into in our office want to spend somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 a month to support their lifestyle. Now, some do spend more. Don't get me wrong. Some will spend $20,000 or $30,000 a month. Others are very happy spending $2,500. I haven't seen anybody that's comfortable spending $1,000, but that's a whole other story. So here's the things that you need to think about. First of all, if you have investments, what do you imagine that your investment rate of return will be between age 62 and full retirement age? Let's say that's 66, 4 years. If you had, let's say, I don't know, $500,000, $200,000, it doesn't matter what the number is, $500,000, at 62, what do you think it'll be worth at 66 if you don't touch it? Well, a lot of that is predicated, of course, on how you invest your money. So what's interesting is that I went and looked back. I took a look at a report that came out of JP Morgan, Barclays, Bloomberg, FactSet, and Standard & Poor's. They put together this whole report that shows what the average investor does over time. Well, interestingly, over the past 20 years, from 1998 to 2017, end of the year we're talking about, what do you think if you invested 100% of your money, 100% of your money 20 years ago in the S&P 500, that is the index of 500 stocks, it's an unmanaged index. You can make money, you can lose money, but let's say you put it in that index and you never touched it for 20 years. Do you know what your average annualized rate of return is? Now, some people will say it's 9 or 10%. Honestly, that's what it was for a while. But when we look back over the past 20 years, the average rate of return on the S&P 500, an unmanaged index, was 7.2%. 7.2%. Now, that's not bad, because if you think about the rule of 72, have you ever heard of the rule of 72? The rule of 72 says, how many years does it take for your money to double? So if you take the number 72 and you divide it into 10 years, you come up with 7.2. So every 10 years, your money would double. So your $500,000 in 10 years would go to $1 million. Your $1 million would go to $2 million the following 10 years. But we're talking about, when I asked my question, I said, if you had invested money in 1962 when you're 62 years old and went to age 66, 4 years, what's the likely return that you would get on your investments if you invested all of your money in the S&P 500? The answer is, I have no idea. Because nobody knows. Markets go up, markets go down. Interestingly, if you had invested in a 60-40 portfolio over the past 20 years, and this is a 60-40, 60% in the unmanaged S&P index, 40% in the unmanaged aggregate bond, it's the U.S. Barclays U.S. Aggregate Index, you would have had a return, according to the J.P. Morgan Asset Management Report, of 6.4%. So think about this, 60% in the stock market, 40% in the bond market, you get 6.4 over the past 20 years and 7.2 if you invested 100% in the stock market. I think I'd be a lot more comfortable with the 60-40 strategy than the S&P strategy, but that's here nor there, because what's interesting is over the past 20 years, do you know what the average investor, they went and looked at what the average investor has done with their portfolio over the past 20 years. Average investor has had an annualized rate of return of, get ready for this, 2.6. Now, why is that? Why is that? The reason why is because I use the S&P 500, an unmanaged index. I said you deposited the money, never took it out. Same thing with the 60-40 strategy. This time you invested the money, never took it out, but we rebalanced it once a year. The average investor has something that's called FOMO, fear of missing out. The average investor wants to play the game. They think they can outsmart the market. They think they can buy technology when technology is popular, buy defensive stocks when defensive stocks are popular, buy CDs, buy bonds, whatever it is. And frankly, you simply can't. So this goes. So you might say to yourself, well, Mark, what does this have to do with the Social Security question? Well, I want you to think about this. From 62 to 66, if you were eligible to take Social Security at 62, or you could take it at your full retirement, 66, you know that you'll get more. You know that you'll get more. In fact, if you take your full retirement amount, if you take a look to see what that is, at 62, if you took it at 62, you get a 70% reduction in what you would have got. So what do you think if you invested your money that you had, and said, I don't want to take money out of my investment, because you could have taken a 60-40 portfolio and said, I have this, I'll just take out the income that I was going to get from Social Security, I'll pull it from my investment account. What if you invested that money at age 62? What do you think the rate of return will be at 66? I don't know, but we do know that the average rate of return over the past 20 years was 6.4. Do you know what the average rate of return is that you get on Social Security, guaranteed, by the way, that you get Social Security guaranteed if you don't touch your money from 62 to 66. You know what it is every single year? 8%. So think about this. So why would you want to start taking money now? You're taking your money, you're pulling money now and missing out on a guaranteed 8% rate of return when you could get that for certain by waiting 4 years from touching your Social Security. And instead, leaving your money invested, perhaps you'll make more or less than 6.4%. You will. It'll be all over the place. But you know where you can get some certainty. On top of that, you may actually like to go to work. And I think you know that if you work between 62 and 64, there is a threshold. I believe it's about $14,000 or $15,000 at age 62, 63, and 64. Where if you make over $14,000, you have to pay back $1 of Social Security for every $2 that you've earned. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Well, here's a bunch of reasons as to why it makes sense to take Social Security early. Number one, you know you're going to die soon. Seriously. If you know you have a terminal illness, why would you delay taking Social Security? It's not like someone else is going to get it. Unless, of course, you're married. Because if you were married, let's say you were getting $2,400 from Social Security and your spouse was getting $1,200 from Social Security. If you died, your spouse now gets the $2,400. But that's only one check. You might get two checks. You're getting two checks while you're both living. that's a good reason to start taking Social Security early. Number two, another reason why you may want to take it is you need the money. You don't have any other resources to draw upon. But I see all too often people do have the resources. They just say, I want to stick it to the government. I'm taking money now. I'm not letting them keep any of the money that they owe me. I paid into this darn system. I'm taking my money out. And the government will laugh all the way to the bank on you. You, my friends, are the fool. They are playing you like crazy. They're like, take your money. But here's something new that could potentially happen if a new tax package, which has been proposed, in an amendment to the tax package that's out there, many people are required to take what's called a minimum distribution at age 70 and a half. You've probably heard about this, a minimum distribution from your IRA at age 70 and a half. The government may say you don't have to take it anymore. Maybe they'll push it to 75. Maybe they'll push it to 80. There is a proposal right now in Washington that is looking to delay the required minimum distribution that's mandated to take from your IRA at age 70 and a half. Could be interesting. We'll see what happens there. But that's my thoughts on Social Security. That's my thoughts on required minimum distribution. That's what I call financial advice in a language you can understand. We provide that here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., but we also do it in my office each and every weekday. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I'd love to meet with you. I can send you an information kit. I can email it to you. We can mail it to you. I can schedule a free initial consultation for you in my office in Peabody. And we're doing that now. We have the time, the capacity, and the space to do it. As it gets closer to November and December, when it gets actually closer to December, we usually delay taking on some new appointments until after the first of the year. So if now is the time for you to say, I want to get serious about what I'm doing with my financial planning, now is the time to do it. Because here's another reason why a lot of people like to come and see us in September, in October, and into early November. Many people say, you know what? I want to make some changes. I want to make some adjustments. But I'd like to start fresh in January. Well, if you choose to transition accounts over to us, and that's part of what we do. We can help you manage your money. If you choose to transition accounts under our management, you're going to get, of course, new statements from our office. And one of the things that you don't want to do is come January, February, or March is to get statements from me and also statements from the other company that you were with, because that means you have extra 1099s, extra tax statements, more mail, all that kind of stuff. If you can clean it all up before the end of the year, you will be very, very happy. And we'd be happy to meet with you. Like I said, if now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. If you want to sign up for our free weekly newsletter that comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning, it's called Planning Pointers. Over 7,500 people subscribe to this newsletter. Go to the website, go anywhere on the page, down towards the bottom. It says Planning Pointers. You put in your name, your email address, and let us know how you've heard about us. That's at friedmanfinancial.com. Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And finally, before I get out of here and before I head over to the Topsfield Fair, I want to invite you all to swing by the B'nai B'rith booth, where I will be working. If you're there today or the rest of the week or next weekend, come by, say hi to myself, say hi to my wife, Laura. We've got a special treat for you. Love to come and meet you. I'd love to hear what you think about our show, about the station. I know the station's been making some changes here. Love to hear what you think about it all. I will be there. Love to hear from you. Love to see you this week. I've got to get out of here. Make room. Wicked Bite. Enjoy it. Have a great day. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.